Hello, and welcome to Forward Church Online. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you'll have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. We hope you enjoy today's message. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today. And then remain standing. We're going to do something different for the reading of God's word, just in reference in that, and because I may keep you an hour and a half, and I don't want you to get tired. I'm kidding. But turn to somebody around you. Just say, man, do you know that my God is faithful? My God is persistent. My God is consistent. How many know that to be true in your own life? That he's faithful. I don't know about you, but in my life, he's been very faithful. And that gives us something to get excited about. That gives us something to hold on to, is to know, well, if he did it once, he'll do it again. And if he hasn't done it for you yet, that's because you haven't positioned yourself to a place where he can do a work in you. Because how many knows, if you say hands off, it's hands off. He's a gentleman. If you say, no, you're not welcome, hey, he's got it. That's your loss, but you got it. And that's not even the message. But and then he's very persistent. When he does want to get to you, he will come after you. Amen. He might not can touch you yet, can't touch this, but he will come after you. He will pursue you, but he's very consistent about it. How many knows when you know when you're running from God and you don't want to hear that stuff, and somebody's always constantly in your face? How many knows he'll use other people? They're constantly in your face. That constant, that's God being very consistent in his pursuit of you. Amen. If you brought your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me real quick as you remain standing to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. I want to make one quick adjustment. I know we just spent a beautiful amount of time announcing a meeting, but I'm actually going to postpone that meeting for today until next Sunday, just to give you just a little more time for those that may not have gotten a confirmation, because I definitely want to know by next Sunday a confirmation if you are responsible for getting any of your exhibit people there. Fireman, helicopter, whatever, just to give you a little more time. That way, when we meet next week, it can be a solid deal, because we'll be 2 weeks out, and we want to solidify this thing. Okay, everybody in love with me for that? Because I know if you're like me, you'll be ready to eat some hot dogs and play some game and get a fellowship on. So we'll do that next week. Is that okay with everybody? Absolutely, I knew it would be. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable or a story to show them that they should always pray," somebody say always pray, "and never give up." We've already heard that many, many times over this morning. I think in worship that might have been said, and I know it was just said a few moments ago by Francis, never give up. But what preceded the not giving up? It was prayer, amen? So that's what he's saying. He's telling his disciples, hey guys, always pray and never give up. Verse 2, he said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men." I'll come back to that in just a minute. Verse 3, "And there was a widow in that same town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.'" How many have ever cried out, okay, God, I'm tired, enough is enough, take care of these turkeys that are bothering me. You ever been there? Okay, then all y'all live perfect lives, I'm the only one. I know, I just know that some of y'all got some people that would love to do damage to your new reputation. How many knows the past is the past? Amen. We call them adversaries or enemies or haters. Verse 4, "For some time he refused, but finally," somebody say finally, "but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men,'" how many knows that confession is the first step? He said, "No, I don't fear God, and I don't even care about anybody else but myself." Interesting. Judges, people who judge. "For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says.'" This is Jesus speaking back to his disciples at the conclusion of this story, and he says, "And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night?" Always pray and never give up. Amen. Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? And I looked up Eugene Peterson's version in the Message translation of just that last portion. And it said this, "But how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he returns?" So when Jesus comes back, and I'm going to let you sit down, but when he does come back, how much of that same persistent faith is he going to find in us? Is he looking at us saying, you know what, they're persistent. So before they wear me out, I believe sometimes, you know, God's like, I got this thing, but we're supposed to pray? No, we're supposed to pray without ceasing. It builds up our faith, amen? There's a reason why, again, and we've said this before, you've heard me say, God's not on a time schedule. We are, we put him on one, and the moment we do, that's when he just definitely goes, well, you just hit the pause button on what I was ready to do for you because you're impatient. Amen? Father, I thank you for your word today, God. I thank you that it is convicting, Father, that it's challenging, that it will change us. God, I ask in this place today that you would change our hearts, change our thinking, Father, change the direction of the path that we are on if it doesn't glorify you, Father, because you desire for us to be used to bring glory and honor to you and to reach lost people. Father, I thank you that for whoever brought hot dogs today, they brought nothing but beef only. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Pray without ceasing. You can be seated. And always let him know what's on your mind. And that's on my mind today. I'm praying that it was all beef. Yes. And amen. Amen. I believe that the word has the power and the ability to do many things. We could sit around the room and spend the rest of the afternoon saying what the word or things that have been spoken into your life and what God's done for you. It has the ability to do numerous things, but just a few of the things that it does have the ability to do is, number one, to convict. It has the ability and the power to challenge. It has the ability and the power to change. And yes, it also has the ability and the power to offend. Well, I like those other ones. They're more motivational. When you say, well, yeah, the word convicts me and it challenges me to be better and that leads to change, but it also can offend people, unfortunately. For those who say, well, what do you mean? Well, for those of us that live a surrendered life or a selfless life, conviction is nothing more than positive motivation that will challenge us to change. That's what conviction does. It's just a simple tool of motivation to challenge us to change. And if you're a consistent person, if you're constantly pursuing Christ, conviction doesn't offend you. It just motivates you to become better. Amen? Amen. And it gives you the ability to change. But for those that live a selfish life, conviction always brings an offense. So people who leave and go, I'm offended, they offended me. What not? You were already offended. You were just looking for somebody to give an offense to you. So my prayer today is that in this place, before we leave, that God will convict, he'll challenge our hearts, and that through that challenge, we'll change our course and of the direction that we're going. Amen? I titled today's message simply this, The Insanity of Inconsistency. The Insanity of Inconsistency. If you've hung out with me, I can think of two guys right now that probably weren't even shocked when they saw that last word, because it's a word that God has. It's the cool thing about not speaking every week, because I have a lot of time for stuff to marinate. And if you follow me on Twitter or Facebook, you'll probably know what my next message will probably be, because as downloads start coming, I just start dropping those things out there, because I never know who they're going to affect like they've affected my life. So a lot of times you're gonna see. You're going to get your appetizer before you get here. But it's the insanity of inconsistency. People who are inconsistent drive me insane. Absolutely. Somebody say, oh, me. Yeah, because if you can't say, oh, amen, that the only thing left to say is, oh, me. Yeah. So what we just saw was Jesus was telling a story to his disciples. And it's so funny to me that nothing's really changed. We still do the same thing today, just like Jesus did as pastors and leaders, is we share stories to try to incorporate, try to parallel our lives. That's one of the reasons. But not much has changed. He used stories of others for two reasons. Number one, to form a connection. So people can kind of go, yeah, I can connect with that. I can understand that. And that's our goal, is to be able to throw something out there that you can connect with and go, yeah, that's where I'm at right now. So help me to change. Amen. I'm not saying you're sitting there going, convict me. That's not my job anyway. That's the Holy Spirit's job. I'm just the delivery. I'm just the messenger. Amen. Don't shoot the messenger. And then number two, the reason he told stories is because it's our deep interest we have such a deep interest into the affairs of other people. That's why he shares stories about other people. And the reason that we like stories about other people is because the attention now shifts to someone else and their tragedy, and it gets away from ours and our junk. Amen? How many of you know people like that? They like to talk about everybody else's stuff, but they're not too interested in disclosing their own information. A to the man. And this judge, I said I was going to come back to that, and it was so funny because I know that the judge in this context is Jesus was trying to say, you know, that he was like the place of God, saying that, you know, we're supposed to plead and we're supposed to always be praying that God will change something. But in this aspect, it's like God just dropped this inside, and he said, for people who judge, and what did it say? It said that in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God or cared about anybody else. And it's like anytime you run into somebody who likes to judge other people, right? And you can see it in the church and outside the church. Unfortunately, in the church, it's there as well. But people who judge others don't really fear God. Because if they really did their homework, it says, judge not lest ye be judged. And in the same measure you do it, it's coming right back at you. Amen? So when you find people that you need to run away from, basically what I'm saying, like, what are you saying? You keep stuttering. If you find somebody who likes to judge, whether they're in the church or outside the church, you need to run from them. Because that spirit is very contagious. And yes, it is a spirit. And you don't want it jumping off on you, because people who are like that, number one, they do not fear God and they don't care about other people. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Turn that up a little bit. Let it marinate. Stir it up a little bit. Are y'all got it? You good? Okay. But notice that in the story, Jesus did not disclose of what had happened to her. She's got an adversary. She's got people that are messing with her. And she's like, well, judge, can you please find justice for me and get this person off my back? Notice that Jesus didn't disclose. Like, we like to know, well, what was really going on with the man and the woman? That's none of our business. But I believe also where it said that you can wear down the judge, or we can wear down God. Not technically do I think you can wear down God, but I do believe that you can wear down your enemy. I believe that as long as you remain persistent and consistent and avoid inconsistency, after a while, he's going to get tired and fed up. Now, he may use, and he probably will, more times than not, he's going to use a different strategy to come at you, and that's what we got to beware of, because when we start to feel in a little bit of the, you know, there's a peace in the middle of the storm. How many knows as the eye crosses over, it's getting ready to come back around, amen? But a lot of times, it's not going to come in the same power. It's going to come in a different power and a different way. And if you've experienced spiritual warfare or you've had crazy things happening, you'll realize that's the case. Amen? Many people in today's society give up before their breakthrough. Josh, show the picture without the verbiage on there so you can kind of see that. It's a guy at the end of a lap pool, and as you can see, he's just kind of submerged or floated down to the bottom of the pool. But how many knows he was just moments away from the finish line? How many of us today, we're trying to do everything we can for God, and then when adversity comes, man, and because we're not consistent in that pursuit, we get that moment where we just kind of just sink to the bottom. Anybody ever been there? You sink to the bottom, but you were just a moment. And notice his head's down. If he would have just lifted his head up, he would have saw. And I never even knew that. And maybe you guys did, that the ink was on the bottom of the pool. Because you always, I mean, I've always wondered, and maybe you already knew that, and I'm just slow school. But I've always wondered how they did that straight line. I mean, sure, they got the little plastic ropes out there, but how did they know to stay in a straight line? I never knew that it was already written down where you should be looking all the time. How many knows that the answer to all of our problems should be where our head should be down, looking at all the time, but constantly looking up so that we can see the finish line is almost right around the corner? How many people give up right before the moment of their breakthrough and their answer? We're talking about the insanity of inconsistency. Let me tell you this. Impatience is the best friend of inconsistency and the enemy of longevity. If you know anything about God, it's not normally quick success. It's not quick. He's not normally on our times table. We've already established that. But he wants us to go through stuff so that we'll be ready for the fight. Because how many knows that the next area you're at is going to be a stronger fight? So impatience is the best friend of inconsistency. So if you're impatient, beware and watch out, because inconsistency is right around the corner. And it's always, always the adversary and the enemy of longevity. You can write this down if you want to. These are just some thoughts. Impatience is a self-inflicted squeeze that reveals what's on the inside of us. Impatience is nothing more than a self-inflicted squeeze. You become impatient over things, and some of you are already thinking, yeah, I'm impatient in this area. You become impatient, but it's self-inflicted because you don't have to be impatient. Just be consistent in your pursuit of Christ. Amen? When we're going through tough times, we must remain consistent. But it's hard to commit to consistency when we have no frame of reference for the duration of what we're going through. I mean, if you're like me, if you're going through something and you already know that it's only going to be for just a little bit, you can pretty much stay consistent because you know it's just right around the corner. But most of the time when we're going through things, we don't know what the end. Like that guy, he did not know where the end was, so he gave up too soon. Hopefully somebody was watching and got to the bottom of the pool to pick him up out of that stuff. That's our responsibility as the church. When we see somebody going down, that's our responsibility to pull them up. Amen? Absolutely. That's why the Bible says that we must live by faith. We may not see the duration of how long whatever we're going through, however long that's going to be. And what is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Unfortunately, most of us allow our circumstances to dictate the level of our inconsistency. Our consistency. We allow our circumstances to dictate the level of our consistency. If I were to poll the room today and say, how many of you want to be successful in your business, in a career, in an education path, in your marriage? Pretty much everybody would, whatever it is, everybody in the room would raise their hand. Yes, let's just try that out. How many in the room would like to be successful at something in life before you go home to glory? Absolutely. Every one of us desire to be successful. People that are successful are people that have been consistent. If we were to pull up and think of people that have been consistent, Michael Jordan, you could think of all kinds of people that have been consistent. I can also show you probably 100% that person has also been consistent in their pursuit. So what are you saying, Pastor Bradley? It's this. If you want to be successful in any area, whether it's your job, your education, your marriage, your other relationships, dating relationships, people who are dating, who are single in the house today, you want to be successful in your dating relationship so that one day you can become married. Amen? There's lots of advantages to being married. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You can take Friday night trips to Gainesville, down past the university. Hang a left. Hot sign will be up and ready for you. And the church said amen. Amen. Krispy Kreme donuts. I believe unanimously that nobody wants to be unsuccessful. Nobody wants to be unsuccessful. T.D. Jakes said this, and Dad sent me this. It's so funny. He sent me this, not realizing really what I was going to be speaking on. He sent me this quote that said this week. It said, "The real price of success lies within the need to persevere." Bishop T.D. Jakes. "The real price of success lies within the need to persevere." Notice he didn't say the price lies in the perseverance. That's not the price. The price you pay is in the need. So if you don't have need, you're not going to get to the you got to need it. Need. The price is in the need. Turn to your neighbor. Give him a little nudge. Say, the price is in the need. The price is in the need. How bad do you need this to happen in your life? How many got some things right now? You just wish. At the beginning I said, do you want some things to change? How many would say, I've got some areas in my life I need to change? Okay, what you need to do is you need to pursue Christ. Don't emphasize that thing. He already knows that. But as you pursue him, seek him first in the kingdom of God and his righteousness, get in right standing with him, then all those other things that you desire that he put in there, if it's for your benefit, he's going to bring that to pass. But you got to seek him rather than the thing. The day that I stopped seeking companionship was the day that I met Amy, my wife. Because I thought I had it all worked out, and I made some mistakes, and I made some bad choices. But the day that I said, okay, I quit, was the day that I began making early morning Burger King trips before, because we both worked at the same company. She was a supervisor, I was a supervisor, and I would stop on my way from my bachelor pad to the office. I would drive through Burger King because there wasn't a Krispy Kreme donut. Matter of fact, I hadn't really been introduced to the power of Krispy Kreme. It didn't need to be introduced to the power of Krispy Kreme. But the croissant sandwich with cheese worked out real nice. And today, 12 and a half years later, and the church said amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Something that I was thinking about earlier this week when I was preparing for this message is I believe that every one of us have within us the ability to tap into a weapon of mass destruction. You have within inside of you the ability to tap into a weapon of mass destruction. I actually was slow to hit the post button on Facebook when I put that because I thought all those little Obama scanners or whatever, you know how people start getting deleted or they get deleted, not their Facebook, but they come up missing, those type things when you start typing stuff like weapons of mass destruction, how to blow up the White House, those types of things. Not that I do, I'm just saying you see that stuff on Facebook anyway. I was like, should I really post that? But no, man, I do. I believe that we have with inside of us the ability to destroy our destiny. You have the ability to destroy what God really wants for you because of your inconsistency. Because of your inconsistency. I remember at Intercall when I first started working there, it's the number one teleconferencing center in the world with places in Georgia, I mean, all across the U.S. and in Australia and England, and I was given the opportunity to travel to some of those places. It was really cool. But one of the things that my manager told me as I was coming up through, because that was my first responsibility, first time having the responsibility of having employees under me, and I learned very quickly. And how many knows, as an employer, you want all your employees to like you? So I made a few mistakes. One of the things that my manager told me is, well, you got to be consistent. What you're saying is, what I was really trying to get to was, you know, I let some leave early, some, and then it was told, well, Bradley has favorites and those type things. But one of the things that I'll never forget was that she said, you've got to be consistent. If you'll be consistent, because they'll push you, but once you're consistent, it'll make your job a lot easier. And once I did, and it took, because I bent for some people, when it was time to pull it back, it was a little, you know, surreal for them, but at the moment that I began to get consistent, everything was easy for me. So the moment that we get consistent in our marriage, the moment that we get consistent with our relationships, the moment we get consistent in our job and our career path and our teenagers and those things, when we get consistent in those things, it will make everything so much easier. That's why I say people who are inconsistent, it's insane to me to think that. But see, God was preparing me years and years ago through that, in that environment, because the environment that was there, that God used some things to get me ready for the church. Because then after I left that environment, I went to a church, and a church of over 1,000 people and a staff of like 15 people. Pretty much I saw a lot of the same things, you know, all those things about I can't come in today because all that stuff that you see in your place, it was in the church and a whole lot worse. Crazy stuff. But God was preparing me then for that, and God was preparing me then for now. But you got to be, I had to be consistent, and you must be consistent. The mission for our family wasn't to come down and to grow a church. It wasn't to come down and just reach Chieflin and the surrounding areas. Our mission was to raise up an army of people that would go out and change the city for Jesus Christ. Inconsistency is something that has crept into mainstream America and has been here for a long time. We see it in our actions. We see it in our character, inconsistency. Okay, you can do a self-evaluation. There's inconsistency in our marriages, in our dating relationships. There's inconsistency in our homes. There's inconsistency with our children. We may favor one over the other, or we may just throw up the floodgates and say, do is whatever you want. We're seeing that more prevalent today, unfortunately. Kids just do whatever you want to. And the reason that I know that is because we hear our girls say, yeah, but everybody else gets to, but I'm not everybody else's daddy. But unfortunately, we see it also in our relationship and our walk with Christ. We see inconsistency in abundance. When the enemy attacks in any area of your life, he tries to break your constant stride. Dad and I were talking about that the other day, how the enemy will try to break your stride. Once you get a stride going and you start rolling, the enemy wants to try to just throw something in there just to break it up a little bit, just to slow you down. He knows he can't really divert you completely and wipe you, completely get you. We are our own enemy. So he wants to throw you off, because if he knows if he can break stride, then he's breaking your consistency. He can break your pursuit and then break you down and wear you out. We got to beware. We got to beware. And you write this down. This is one of the points. There is power in consistency. Why, because I don't want to focus so much on the inconsistency, but why is it important to have consistency in those areas? Because there's power in that. When you become inconsistent, I avoid people of inconsistency. Inconsistency drives me crazy. I can't handle it. I don't like doing business with people who are inconsistent. It drives me bonkers. But being consistent is very challenging. How many would agree? It is challenging to be consistent. It is challenging after a long day to walk in and you've done your thing and she's done hers and she wants to talk and go into her 35,000, however many words a minute it was, and you've already consumed all that you can handle today in hearing and you've spoken everything you need to speak. I mean, not that that happens in our house. I'm talking about y'all, because it's flowing like milk and honey in ours. I'm referring to you. I'm just kidding. But it's a challenge. It is a challenge. It's a challenge for young people to stay consistent with the things and responsibilities that they've been asked of. Oh, yes, young people, I haven't forgot about you. I know you're still here. At least you came back when I said young people. Oh, he's referring to us. What shall he say? It takes work, and you've got to be intentional. Consistency takes work. Come on, let's say that together. Consistency takes work. It takes work. It takes work. Listen, no one walks down the aisle on their wedding day and says, I'm going to do this thing today, but I know if it's really not going to work out, there's always another option. I mean, that's just where people's mindsets are at today. Matter of fact, they just say, shack up, who cares about the piece of paper? I'll give you a little 25-cent ring from the bubblegum thing, and we can do this thing, or whatever. We've provided an atmosphere and an environment for it to totally steer away from the way God has lined it up to be, and I'll leave that right there. Couples that go through divorce, they did it because there was some inconsistency somewhere. Somebody said, you picking on divorced people? No, because I was one of them. But it was because somebody was inconsistent. In most cases, divorce is the result of selfishness. The judicial system calls it irreconcilable differences. I had that perfectly, but it just, you couldn't hear it right. We'll pray for your healing today. I said that right. And I was going to try it again, and I still wasn't going to get it. So we'll just move right along. But the bottom line is somebody was selfish. Somebody was selfish. They don't make me happy anymore. They stopped providing blah, blah, whatever. I'm feeling the tingles, marriage conference people. I'm feeling the tingles somewhere else. If you're a married person, and we learned this, if you're a married person, and we were actually at the same conference, we worked in the same business, but if your wife or your spouse doesn't work in the same place, and you go to coffee pot, and you start feeling tingles for somebody else, you no longer drink coffee. If you go to the gym and somebody else starts, you know, throwing some, yeah, well, can I see how you do? No, I don't work out no more. I work out at home. I'm not saying quit your job, but wherever that area that you met, where the tingles are, you don't go there no more. Right. Until that person is no longer there, or that you're so consistent in your pursuit from God that it don't even bother you anymore. There are also those entering into marriage for selfish reasons. People have gotten married for selfish reasons because they're thinking about what they can get out of it. Only for selfish reasons. That will end in divorce. Do you know that you can also be consistent in your inconsistencies? So don't get confused. You can be consistent in your inconsistencies, and that too is a road that will leave you down, a road that would lead you down a very long path and a very destructive path. Anywhere you see, check this out, somebody, why are you hitting so hard on inconsistency? Because when we came down here, I immediately wanted to know what was the stronghold, and I was getting ready this morning, that was the word he gave me. It is a stronghold. Stronghold is an inconsistency in this area. And I know and understand that when I attack inconsistency, I know good and well that it's coming after me. See, I understand that. But I know that because if we're going to be used to change, we must know what we're up against. We must know what the stronghold is. We must know what the adversary is. And that one of the adversaries, one of the strongholds in this area is inconsistency. And how do I know that? Because anywhere you see no growth and no change, it is a direct result of inconsistency. We see it in our communities, we see it in our business, we see it in our marriages and our families. We even see it in the church. Point number two, change happens. Change happens through consistency. How do we change that? How do we change that's been here for since Chiefland for the most part looks exact. And somebody said, why are you attacking Chiefland? I'm not attacking it. I'm attacking the stronghold because I know what God wants for Chiefland. I know what God wants for Trenton. I know what God wants for Dixie. I know what God wants for these areas, but you got to push back. Somebody say push back. You got to push back on the enemy and be consistent with it. You can't push a little bit and then, oh, I'm having a hard time. See, a lot of Christians, they funny like that because they stand up and go, yes, I want to make a change. But as soon as the adversary comes after you, well, maybe it wasn't worth it. It's got to be worth it to you. And he knows you can handle it, because if he didn't, he wouldn't have called or drew you to it. Dad was talking about recovery, and I jotted this down the other day. I kind of made it work. Recovery happens through consistency. Okay? So you can be... There's power in consistency. Change can happen in consistency. And in that moment, recovery begins to happen as long as you remain consistent. That doesn't mean that everything's going to be hunky-dory for you and cheesecake and pie. And as long as you remain consistent, you will recover. You may stumble, but don't stop being consistent. As long as you're consistent, you will recover from the stumble. Being inconsistent is a sign of laziness. I just don't want to. Being inconsistent is a sign of laziness. Laziness is a powerful force. Laziness has the power and the ability to completely deviate us from the path that God has laid out for us. Laziness. Let me give you a few more that he just dropped in downloads in case you weren't on Facebook this morning. You were still trying to run around because you forgot to set your clock back. Oh, me. Here's a few more that he gave me this morning. Inconsistent results can be traced back to inconsistent pursuits. So if your result is inconsistency, it's because it can be traced back that you're an inconsistent person. Whether it's in your business, career, education, or marriage, never give up. See, I want to make sure that I'm not just jamming. I want to jam a little bit, but say don't give up. Don't stop pursuing. You got to be consistent. You can recover, but you only do it through consistency. Inconsistency is one of the first signs of someone who is selfish and self-serving. If you see somebody who is selfish and self-serving, they're an inconsistent person. They don't fear God, and they have no thought or care, love for anybody else other than themselves. Just hang out with them long enough. What's the conversation? As a man thinketh, so is he. What comes out of his mouth is in his heart. Real talk. When inconsistency shows up in our walk with Christ, get ready. It will show up in our marriages too. See, why marriage? I don't know. He just said that because there may be somebody in here who's having an inconsistent moment in your marriage, and you don't need to give up, but just know that when you're inconsistent, we'll show up in our marriage if our walk with Christ is inconsistent. Did you get that? Did I spit that out right? People of inconsistency, or unstable as I like to call them, are easily recognizable. Church is usually one of the first things to be removed from their to-do list. Let me say that again. People of inconsistency, unstable in all of their ways, double-minded, are easily recognizable, and church is usually one of the first things to be removed from their to-do list. Last one, real talk. Church becomes boring to those that have started flirting with inconsistency. Church becomes boring when you started flirting with inconsistency. Many Christians have become lackadaisical, lacking enthusiasm and determination in their walk with Christ. As believers, we've fallen victim to inconsistency. In some respect, through their inconsistency, we've lowered our standard. The Bible tells us in Isaiah that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against it. That's protocol. So if the Spirit of the Lord lives on the inside of us, when the enemy starts coming, when things start getting crazy, that's a good indication that we've lowered our standards. And the way to get rid of him is to bring our standard back up. See, that's all on you. That's all on me. Anytime the enemy's coming and he's just really just knocking the mess out of me, the reason he's even gotten there is because I've lowered my standards because of inconsistency. Through consistency, our standards will remain set. Somebody say remain. They'll remain unmovable. When you're consistent in your walk with, when you're consistent with Christ first, all the other stuff, the career path, the educational, the marriage, your relationships, all that other stuff will fall right in line as long as it's him first. Well, I'm here on Sunday. Yeah, but are you putting him first on Monday? Well, I put him first on the first day of the week. No, but did you put him first in every area? I want God to bless my finances, but I just can't be consistent in my tithe. You're not going to be consistent in raises. You're not going to be consistent in financial favor if you can't be consistent in your tithe. Through consistency, our standards will remain set and unmovable. Everything about God is consistent. Everything about Jesus, everything he did was consistent with the character of God because he was God. I know that's debatable, but it's not debatable. In Malachi, he tells us, I am the Lord your God, I change not. In Hebrews, he tells us, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is consistent. Yes, he is. And because he is a consistent God, when we become inconsistent in areas of our lives, we stop the supernatural flow of God in that area. When we become inconsistent in an area and we no longer put God first in that area, we stop the supernatural flow of what God wants to do in that area, whether it's your finance, whatever it is. If we're not putting God first in it, you're stopping. You are stopping. That nobody else was responsible for that stopness, but you. Because you became inconsistent. And more you become inconsistent, the more and more you will remain inconsistent. Once you drop once, it's downhill, baby. Once you become inconsistent, first time, if the enemy can get you to be inconsistent one time, it's downhill for him. It doesn't mean he can give up and stop, because he knows there's recovery through consistency. And if you get back up, so he's just constantly there. He just knows it's downhill for him. So if you're fighting something today, if you feel like there's an inconsistency in your life, it's up to you, not the pastor, not the youth pastor. It's up to you to find out where the inconsistency lies. And it's not too far away from the consistency. Whatever you should have been consistent in, that inconsistency will be very, very close. It's not hard to identify. Well, I'm just not sure how to identify why I've become inconsistent. He is consistent. God is consistent. What is consistent? He is. Who is consistent? God is. So when consistency is no longer at work in us because he is constant, his consistency can no longer be at work in us and through us. That was a lot. You may not have got that, but I just wrote that down as he was giving that to me. Notice I did not say that when we're inconsistent that his love towards us becomes inconsistent. Why? Because he is love, and he's also consistent, so his love never changes. Let me say that again. Even though you've become inconsistent in some areas, that doesn't mean his love for you is inconsistent. Because he is consistent, and he is love, therefore his love for you is consistent. But you also stop the flow of what he wants to do in your life. You have the ability and the power within inside of you. You have, to your resources, weapons of mass destruction for your destiny, for your life, and for your marriage. His grace for us is consistent even in our inconsistencies. Yet we see this all the time. People slip up. They go through a rough patch in their life or in their marriage, and they don't feel like they can come to church anymore. We see this all the time. People go through things, and they feel like, well, I gotta get some things right before I can come back. I hear that all the time. I'm like, dude, this place is for sick people. This is not for people who got it all together. Why do I come? Because there's some areas I need to get consistent in. It's always preached to the preacher first. When you're really connecting where the heartbeat of God is, the people are inconsistent. No, you're inconsistent. You got to get it right before you deliver it to the people, because I'm not going to stand up here and y'all say, he's a hypocrite, because I ain't perfect. So people would say, well, I'm just going through a rough time, and I'll be back. That's the environment we've created, that you got to have it all right. This is for sick people. This is for jacked up people. This is for people who don't smell real good. This is for the people that have been shooting stuff up their veins. This is for people who got some liquid on their breath. You know that spirit. We got spirit. Yeah, you do. And we'll cast them out in Jesus' name. When you sense my tenacity, it's not at people who may be in that area stumbling. It's because I'm trying to push back on a demonic force that says, no, Forward Church ain't going to go through. Do you know there's people that stand on the sideline and want to watch this thing go under? Let me tell you something. Anything that's based on truth will not fall. Amen. People say it all the time. Well, I just don't feel I feel unworthy coming to church. Or they blame God for their circumstances. Don't blame God. You were the one that was inconsistent. He can't be inconsistent. Yeah, but he's not doing this for me. No, there's somewhere along the line you became inconsistent. Somewhere along the line I became inconsistent. Therefore, my result is inconsistency with God. Not his love for me, but the flow of what he wants to get to me and through me. In some cases, it's not God who is to blame. It's time for us to look in the mirror and see the reflection of inconsistency that led up to the circumstances we now face. I'm starting with a man in the mirror. I don't know if he did or not. But sometimes we gotta look in the mirror. Don't be judgmental. That's a dangerous place to be. You may not have lost your reverential fear of God in that moment, but if you continue to be inconsistent and you continue to judge other people and you continue to be in everybody else's business, chances are pretty good your fear, reverential fear from God, is going down the toilet. Inconsistency is responsible for the destruction of marriages, the devastation of relationships, altered educational and career paths, and jilted or abandoned relationships with Christ. That's what inconsistency is responsible for. So if you've got destruction in your marriage, if you've got a devastated relationship, if your educational path has been altered because of a choice that you made, or your career path because of a choice that you made, or your relationship with Christ is jilted or abandoned, just altogether abandoned, it's because there was an inconsistency in your life, and it's time to get it back right. It's time to come on back home, get replanted, get back in the good soil. Sometimes stuff grows in the dirt. You're going to get nasty where you're supposed to grow at, but it's the nastiness that produces. How many knows that it's the, I almost said it, it's the cow manure, it's the stuff in it that produces growth. My brother James got cows, he got a donkey, I almost said that one too, he got it. So if you need some stuff, he got some stuff. I'm sure he'd love for you to come and pick it up. I don't think he's got enough room to hold all of it at his place. But how many knows that sometimes when life gets a little stinky, you got to recognize it's in the stinkiness. It's in that dark place that root's growing. That things are getting deep, but you got to be consistent. Consistent sunlight, consistent rain produces something very beautiful. Beautiful you. But, everybody say but. Yeah, we do. But through the power of consistency, we will see marriages restored, relationships reconciled, educational and career paths reestablished, and relationship with Christ realigned. Let me say that again. Through consistency, marriages will be restored, relationships will be reconciled, educational and career paths will be reestablished, and relationships with Christ will be realigned. Yes, they will be, in the name of Jesus. The only way we're going to reach our city for Christ is through the power of consistency. They're looking for us to slip up. They're on the sidelines, judging, with no fear for God and don't care about you. And those relationships can be restored, but first, that relationship, that way, has to be restored. Amen? It's not going to be easy. No, sir. Not a chance. When we go up against a powerful force like inconsistency, you better believe that spirit is going to respond and push back. That's why it's important for you to pray for your pastor. And oh, you're trying to get us to pray for you. No, I'm just telling you, when you step out and you put it on the chopping block, you need to pray for the people who are leading the way, because if it wasn't for the person leading you, you're going to be wandering in the wilderness. Somebody's just trying to get you to say, stop being inconsistent and get consistent with your relationship and your walk with Christ. You're better for it. When the force of consistency meets the force of inconsistency, there will always be a battle. One of the greatest opportunities that we have to exercise consistency is when we take what we do in here to the streets out there. The greatest opportunity that we have is when we take and exercise consistency. Not do the Easter thing 2 years and then take a break. No, consistency. People in the world have seen church be inconsistent. We have to reestablish the standard of consistency. My message today, never quit, never give up, remain consistent. Babe Ruth said it this way: it's hard to beat a person who never gives up. It's hard to beat a person who never gives up. You might get a lick in. You may get one. But if you get back up, the fight's still on. In closing, nobody moving, nobody leaving unless 911 called you and said your house is on fire. Almost through. I'm running great on time. Hot dogs, be ready to roll in a minute. These seeds represent our lives. Very small. And seem to be somewhat insignificant. Real small. But I just said, if that just remains in the pack, it can't be that beautiful flower, that beautiful picture on the front. Until it gets in the dirt. Until it goes through some transition. Some of you here this morning are in transition. I didn't bring a pocket knife. Somebody got a pocket knife? Thank you. I do have one. The preacher lives in, moved back to Chiefland down here next to Cross City. You ain't got a pocket knife. I got them. I just don't carry it on me. Don't stop me at the red light. I'll be packing and I got some blades in there. Don't. I had to get some when I felt like I had a target on my back. You just never know. Because people are strange and inconsistent. You just never know how they're going to react because they're inconsistent. But you put that seed in that soil. And it one day will produce something very beautiful. And there's a little one there too. So now the root system is now entwined below, and whatever this one decides to do, they're also responsible for this one. That could mean a single parent. That could mean the head of the house, which is in most cases is the husband. And then you've got your spouse, and we'll just say there was other ones. I just picked that one. I thought, yeah, I can use that because I was looking for one that had more. No, there is another one down there. There she is. That's her. And there's a little baby bud down there. Everybody say, hi, baby bud. He's in there. Not sure what he or she is, but you know, a lot of people, they feel like sometimes, because the word convicts, and it challenges people, and they don't want to be challenged. People who are inconsistent don't want to be challenged. So I ain't got no use for that place no more. I'm on to bigger and better things. So I'm gonna replant myself right there. Notice there's no dirt in that. It looked on the outside like it was the place it was supposed to go, but there's nothing in there of any substance. Sorry. And then sometimes, we just start replanting and trying to make it work. And see, that's how people do when they walk in and out of church. Because when there's and I'm going to say it this way: because when you become inconsistent in your walk, you were responsible at one time for this and that bud, but because you started relocating because you had a better way and a better plan. Through weapons of mass destruction, I gotta have it my way. You've destroyed your life. It doesn't mean Forward Church is the church. And I'm not, don't be trying to draw lines of where's he going. That's not, I'm trying to help people who the enemy plants seed, and if we don't deal with it, because I didn't want to deal with it, I tried to so much that he made me go back to Walmart. Ouch. He made me go back to Walmart this morning because I didn't want to do it. Because I don't want people to go, well, he's being real direct. No, I'm being real direct with a spirit that's trying to sift people out like wheat. And I don't know. I don't know how the enemy plays, but I know he plays mind games. This is where he dwells. This is where he hangs out. as long as we remain consistent with our relationship with Jesus Christ, there is no time. There's no time for judgmentalism. There's no time for backbiting. There's no time for sweet talk this way, but stabbing them when it's... There's no time for that. Matter of fact, you won't even get caught up in that when you're consistent, when your relationship with Jesus Christ. And then we wonder how come everything's crazy in our life. It's because you're insane. Inconsistency is insanity. Trying to do the same thing over and over and get a different result. Alfred, whoever, somebody said that. Einstein, I don't know. But my prayer today is that we'll get consistent about Christ. We'll get consistent about our relationship with Jesus Christ. That all the other stuff that we get so caught, that's going to work out. Just get consistent in one thing. One thing. Somebody say one thing. Get consistent in one thing. He's the God of multiplication. He works all the other stuff out. Well, I'm tired of him hitting me with subtraction. No, inconsistency brings subtraction. Consistency only brings multiplication, addition. That's it. And there's no time for division. Anybody that causes division, anybody that sows seeds of division, there's only one realm, and it's not the realm of the Holy Spirit. Where that comes from. Wake up, church. Everybody stand all over this room this morning. I don't want to be... And that's not just church. That can be marriage, man. I'm tired. Now I want to plant myself over here. Everybody's got dirt. But how many knows that every plant... Some plants need a different kind of soil to grow in. That's why there's a lot of different versions. God puts you in a place. God aligns you and connects you with a marriage. God connects you with a marriage for a reason, because he knew he was going to allow you to go. He didn't cause it. He's going to allow you to go through some things, because through that thing, it's going to produce something very beautiful in your life. If you're here this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. And somebody say, yep. Bradley Weber, that was for me. There are some areas in my life where I gotta put the halt to inconsistency. I'm not gonna ask you what it is, but if you say, yep, there's an area in my life or multiple areas where inconsistency has been an issue, and now I understand why I'm going through what I'm going through. If that's you, all I want to do is pray for you. I just want you to slip your hand up all over this room. Ain't nobody looking around. We just want to say, yep, I've got some inconsistencies in my life. You may put your hands down. Father, I lift up every person in this place today. Matter of fact, I want everybody, even the ones that you're good with consistency. I just want you to stretch both hands up. I don't feel comfortable, man. Just get comfortable. Get comfortable. God, in this moment, we raise our hands to you. And God, this is the posture we must constantly have, with our arms stretched towards you. Putting you first in every area of our lives. God, in moments where we are tempted through impatience, we are tempted through adversities, God, may we always remain consistent, never letting our guard down, never lowering the standard. And if we feel like we're going down, God, may we hold on. In this position, it's going to be a lot quicker to hold on to your hands than if my hands are down. So God, I always stay in a posture with hands up, saying, God, I'm always surrendered to you. God, may we live selfless lives and not selfish lives. May our arms be stretched upward and outward and never clenched around ourselves. Father, I thank you for every person that was honest this morning, and those that say, you know what, maybe now I'm starting to identify some areas. God, I ask that you'll strengthen them right now. Father, there may be somebody in the room that is completely just bent out of shape. Father, they feel like they're flat on their back. God, they can't move. They're at the bottom of the pool. Bubbles, every ounce of air in life, in a dream, life in a marriage, life in whatever. God, it just seems like it's just going away and I'm dying. God, God, I ask right now that you will scoop that person up at the bottom of that. Let them lift their head up, lift their chin up, and see that the finish line is just right around the corner. Their breakthrough is right around the corner. And God, we ask for forgiveness for not truly trusting in you in moments where if our trust would have just came through, everything would have been okay. Reestablish our trust. Reaffirm our trust. Help us to be the men and women that you've called us to be. We love you, God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Forward Church Online. We hope this has been a blessing in your life and that you'll share this and other great resources with your friends. We want to invite you to explore our webpage at www.myforwardchurch.org. There, you'll find online giving, church events, and so much more. Be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter, as there's always something happening around Forward Church. If you're ever in our area, we'd like to extend an invitation to come be a part of one of our live worship experiences. Thanks again for listening to the Forward Church Online Podcast. Have a great week.